So a reading from the Gospel of John. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrapping, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and he believed. For as yet, they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni, Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said, these things to her. God's word is indeed life.
The story, as we have it in John's Gospel, begins with running. Mary running back to the others in alarm, the two running toward the tomb, one faster than the other. Mary running once more to join them there. All this running to and fro. Running frantically, running in fear, running in confusion and dismay. Peter and the other disciple look into the tomb. They even go into it themselves. It was just as Mary said. They discover he's gone. And they go back to wherever they were. But Mary, we're told, she remains. She stops running. No less confused, no less alarmed, she lingers there in total loss. This is Mary who saw him through to the end, who saw where the body was finally laid. She knows exactly where to find him. Now what have they done with him, to him? There she is beside herself in grief when someone asks her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She doesn't recognize him to be Jesus. How could she? Why would she? She knows exactly who she's looking for, and he is dead. Finished. Once again, he speaks to her, only this time he calls her by her name. "Mary," he says. Her instinct is to reach for him, to hold on to him. But he tells her, "No. It's so unlike him. And yet it is him." Yet in his new way of being, he's moving on, no longer confined to that very place with her and his companions of these last 3 years, but available for all, everywhere. Unbound not just from death's grip, but unbound by time and space. This is the wild mystery we celebrate today. It was supposed to be over. He was supposed to be tucked in, safely dead. His way of love, a nice try, probably naive in the end, ultimately no match for the forces that destroy life. But that's not how it played out. It's true, he couldn't have been more dead. But then equally true, somehow those friends of his, Mary among them, they experienced him undeniably alive, present with them, such that they became fearless in this way of living love. Far from dying out, this Jesus movement spread like wildfire, far and wide, as others too experienced this loving, healing, liberating power that they could only name as Christ in their midst. Here's another thing that this encounter between Mary and the risen Christ helps us to know. Easter doesn't put an end to our grief. For Mary, she didn't get back the same life they shared in Galilee. It wasn't about returning to how it used to be, but living into a new reality, one she couldn't envision ahead of time. What she did have going forward was this assurance that somehow he was not gone, but present. So too, we can arrive at this day with Christ is risen, proclaimed all around us, even by us. But that doesn't necessarily mean we're finished with grief. We can still be deeply grieving and yet proclaim Christ is risen with all our heart. We'd be mistaken, though, if Easter means the end of grief. Easter brings the shattering of our assumptions, the shattering of our certainties, of a world as we know it. Easter makes a profound rupture, marks a remaking, an opening of the way for the recreation of the world, the reorienting of our lives. For while the forces of death and destruction are fierce and unrelenting, they are not all there is. There is another reality powerfully at work that won't finally be stopped. You see, the story that we have, it really began before all that running in the early hours of that first Easter morning. It really began before then, in the dark of night before dawn. Something happened that no sunlight illuminated. Something happened that no one saw. Something happened that no human narrative can contain or explain. All we know is that God worked in secret to bring life out of death, from out of loss, misery, and suffering, a future, a new future. While the forces that would destroy life are fierce and unrelenting, they are not all there is. This is the wild mystery we celebrate today. There is another reality. The reality of God's life-giving love that keeps finding a way where there is no way. That rises up within us and between us, arising that is not of our own doing. There is a power for life let loose in our world that won't finally be stopped. And it is there for us to lean into, to trust, and to stake our own lives on. Without this power, none of us would be here in such a place today. And some of us without this power wouldn't even be alive today. This is the power that has sustained our planet through countless opportunities along the way for annihilation. Friends, let us not forget that Easter took place in a grave when all was lost. If love and life can meet us there, love and life can meet us everywhere. With the God of resurrection, the story is seldom over when we think it's over. This is the hope. This is the promise that gives rise to our celebration today, that gives rise to our courage to be in life these days. The promise that is ours to claim, wherever we are, that there is nothing in life or in death that can limit the transforming power of God's love. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's sing together again from the red hymn book, number 166.
Please be seated.